Today's Shir Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Tzadik Aleph. We will begin on Daf Tzadik on the base, five lines from the bottom. Itmar, Chosma Bakol. If the person prevented the animal from eating, he didn't muzzle it physically. He just made a sound. He raised his voice. That would cause that the animal should not want to eat. Of course, everybody agrees that if somebody does an Aveira, which the Aveira is done by speaking, so that for sure is considered an Aveira. The question here is that normally chesima, normally muzzling is accomplished by physically muzzling the animal. And therefore the Gemara's question here is, when you did not physically muzzle the animal, is that still considered muzzling or not? Itma chosm b'kol or heniga b'kol. We spoke at the end of our previous shiur about leading two animals together. Shor v'chamor, not allowed to lead two different animals together. The question that comes up now is, what will be the halacha if you didn't actually lead them physically, but you made them walk? What will be the halacha? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Yuchayiv Malkus for this. Rishlokish says, you will be potter. Rabbi Yochanan Chayiv explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan says, you are Chayiv, because he holds a kimas piv havamaisa. Moving your lips, which causes whatever happens to happen, is considered as if you did physically the Aveira. Rishlokish am a potter. Rishlokish, on the other hand, holds the potter, because he says, kola, raising your voice, by havamaisa, is not considered an act that you would be chayiv for. Esvei asks the Gemara. Esvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan asks Reish Lakish. The Torah Hakdosha says in Parshas B'chukaisai, Leichlefena v'layomar isai toy b'ra or rabatoyv v'm hamer yomer beim behema. Torah Hakdosha says one may not substitute one animal for another animal. Says the Torah v'm hamer yomer behema behema. If you do so, says the Torah, "Hayahu usmarasoi yir kodesh." We're not allowed to take a good animal that's eligible to be a carbon and substitute it with another animal. But the Torah Hakdosha says that one who does so, the halacha is that the original animal remains a carbon, and so too is the halacha on the substitute. And says the Mishnah in Masechta Temura that Beis Haman Aleph, "Lo yisha adam rishoy lemer." Not that one is allowed to ever substitute a healthy animal. But the halacha is, Shem Hamer, if he so does, Mumer, what he does is considered a valid substitution, for which Soifik Saboim, he'll get Malkus. So now the obvious question is, in this case, all he did was speak. And yet we see that speaking can make you get Malkus. So isn't that a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that Akima Sfosov is a Maisa? So Rashi says, in explaining that Mishnah, that if somebody does so, he's going to get Malkus for the lav of Lo Yechlifenu. So the Ritva asks, but we just read the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Lo Yechlifenu and Lo Yomer. So why don't you get two Malkus? So the Ritva answers, the two lavin, one is when you substitute a carbon which belongs to you, and one is when you substitute a carbon that doesn't belong to you. And therefore, it's either or, and therefore there's only one Malkus. That's the Ritva's Teretz. The Mashah gives you a different Teretz. The Mashah explains that really this is a Lav Hanitik Lasei. And since it's a Lav Hanitik Lasei, the Gemara Masechta Malkus teaches us that there is no Malkus for Lav Hanitik Lasei. So why is the Malkus here? Because as we just said, there are really two Malkus, the two Averis involved, Lo Yechlefenu v'Lo Yomer. So one, indeed, is a Lav Hanitik Lasei. It's only the extra one that doesn't have the category of a Lav Hanitik Lasei, because the Torah taught us two Lavin. And that's why there's only one Malkus. Amalei, so Reish Lakish responds to Rabbi Yochanan, Hamani, who is the Tana of this Mishnah? The Tana of this Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. He, the Amal Lav Shem Emaisa, that even a Lav Shem Emaisa, like an Lav. And therefore, this Mishnah cannot be a raya to the question that we're discussing in our discussion. Ask the Gemara, Mimakus like Rabbi Yehuda, how can we say that that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Vaktani, the ratio of that Mishnah, it says, Hakom Amirim, everybody has the issa to do a tamura. Echad Anoshim v'Echad Anoshim, both men and women. Vavinimba, and in trying to understand the Mishnah, the question was, is Hakol L'suyimai? What does the word Hakol come to teach us? L'suyi Yairish, that a Yairish, somebody inherited a carbon from his father, he too could do tamura, which is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because Iker Rabbi Yehuda, were we to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Hama, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Yairish ain't a memer, that a Yairish doesn't do a tamura. And similarly, if a Yairish is bringing his father's carbon, ain't a semeach, normally when one brings a carbon, he does smicha. That halacha doesn't apply by a Yairish. So the Gemara's question is, how can we suggest that that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, that Mishnah, Savalika Sebechada, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda as far as the halach of Alav Shem and Maisa, and he holds that Alav Shem and Maisa like and love, but Palagle Bechada regarding a Yairish doing Tamura. Rabbi Yehuda says he can't, the Tan of that Mishnah does, and just because you hold like Rabbi Yehuda in one halachic issue doesn't have to say anything to another halachic issue. So our Gemara just established that according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Akima Sfasov have a Maisa. So the Mar V'Shemesh and Parshas B'Shalach says that the Pasuk says that a person, that when it came to the Parshas Aman, the Pari says, Hini Mantam Lachem Lechem Eshmaim Dva Yoim B'Yoimai. Somebody, every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the demon. A person has to have bitachin. And if a person has bitachin, then he will be zoicha, he'll have panosa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? So he explains, because the Pasuk says, Uvarachacha Hashem Elokecha b'chol asher ta'aseh. But now that we've learned that Akim Asfasov, just moving your lips, have a maisa. So the Torah HaKadosh is teaching us, Uvarachacha Hashem Elokecha, how is a person able to get the bracha of Hashem? B'chol asher ta'aseh. Ta'aseh, we say, doesn't mean physical labor. A person who learns Torah, a person who davens, is a person b'chol asher ta'aseh. With the dibur of Torah, with the dibur of tefillah, that is how a person is able to get hinin mantel chem lechem neshmayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us panasa dvar yoyim b'yoymai every day. Tana Abonim, HaChaisim Sapara, if somebody muzzles the cow, the dashba, and then he works with it, the loch is loika, he gets malchus for violating the lav of Lesachs M'Shabadisham, and he also has to pay Aboim, he has to pay for what the animal could have eaten, and he prevented the animal from eating. And how much do we evaluate is what the animal would have eaten that you have to pay? Aboim kabim lapara, 4 kabim by a cow is what normally eaten during a session of disha. V'shlish kabim chamor, and a donkey eats 3 kabim. Ask the Gemara, but v'ha, don't we have a rule throughout halacha that the halacha is that ein aloika there's the halacha of kimle midrabimnei kedei rishasoi, which the Gemara often teaches us. Mishum risha achas atemichayvoi viatemichayvim shtei rishuyos. We don't give a person 2 punishments. So how could it be that over here he'll be loike mishalim? Answers the Gemara. Amar Abaya, Hamani. Who's the tana of this brisa? Ramei here. It follows the opinion of Ramei that Ramei's opinion is that loika mishalim, that you do have to pay. From here we see the Rishonim, this is very relevant to our coming shir, that it's a financial right that I have, that the animal has to get fed, and if that is deprived, I now owe money for what happened. Rav Amar, Rav says that our Mishnah is referring to a person who wants to go above the letter of the law. That means, Rameh's opinion is that, like Mishalim, but Rav is saying is, even if we don't follow that opinion, that what Kimle with the Rabbanei, Rav says, means that Bezdin can't make me pay, but that doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. The Torah speaks about an esnan, that something that was given to a woman for act of znus, asur Torah, if somebody gave an animal as payment, the Torah says it can't be brought as a carbon. The halacha is a filah baal ima. Even if somebody had relations, Rahman al-Salam, with his mother, and for which there's a chiv misa, if he gave her esna, we shouldn't bring as a carbon. And even if she would go to Bezdin and tell Bezdin, this man promised me an esnan, Bezdin would, of course, not enforce that obligation because there's a chiv misa. The halacha still is, it's still considered an esnan if it is given. And it still cannot be bought as a carbon. Because the fact that there's a chiv misa doesn't mean it's not an esnan. It means that it can't be enforced, but it's certainly there. And here too, what the Gemara means to say is that you have to pay it, it can't be enforced. Rapapa says a different teretz. Rapapa says that so what it means is that you're like a mishalim, because the right thing to do is to pay, not just if you deprive the animal of what it was allowed to eat. It just can't be enforced by Bezdin. Rapapa gives a third teretz. Rapapa's teretz is based that when do we say kimle b'drabmanei? We only say kimle b'drabmanei when the two averis come simultaneously. But here, mishas mishicha, at the moment that the person took control of the cow, at that point the chaylevim is in a sehah. That's when the obligation to feed it kicks in. Milkalai lucky, but the malchus doesn't come at chas chasim until he actually muzzles it. So therefore, since the two did not come at the same time, the halacha is that we say that we don't say kimle b'dra. We don't, in such a situation, say kimle midrabanei. So the way Rashi explained Rava's teretz is that the general rule is like of Einim Shalim, is that Bezdin does not impose monetary obligation where there's a chi of Malkus, but it's what should be done. So obviously, Rav is of the opinion that when we have these two punishments, Malkus and Tashlumim, the payment is loika and not Mishalim, but Kedei Lotzus, Kedei Shemayim, you should pay as well. But Ula's opinion is, when you're in such a situation where they have a payment obligation and a Malkus obligation, the halacha is Mishalim ve'ena loika. So it seems that Rav, most Rishonim say, does not follow the opinion of Ulav, he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, the like of the Einem Mishalim. But there are those that suggest that Rav's pshat could work both ways. Rashi quotes his Rebbe, who says that since one who muzzles his friend's cow has an obligation to pay, if he doesn't, today lots of stay Shemayim, so if he doesn't, and the owner of the cow has the power to seize the payment. Says the Sivis, the Lechatchila, the owner is not allowed to take the law into his own hand and just seize payment for something that the court did not award him. He says, when Rashi says that if the owner of the cow were to seize this payment, he could keep it, it's only in a situation where he did so but it's not something that he should do. The Mashal says, the Rashi says that the owner of the cow could seize the payment only in a case where the person, even Rashi, who says that the owner of the cow could seize the payment, it's only in a case where he didn't get Malkus. For example, the Marshal says, Bezman Hazeh, where Bezdin doesn't give Malkus, so that's where the halacha is. Since Bezdin doesn't give Malkus, the halacha will be that the owner of the cow, Rashi says, could seize the funds. But if it was a time and a place where the person who muzzled the cow got Malkus for muzzling the cow, even Rashi would agree, suggest the Mashal, that we cannot say that he's allowed to keep the, that he's allowed to seize money from the owner of the cow. That the owner of the cow is allowed to seize money from the person who muzzled it. Says the Gemara, Amara Papa. Hani Mili, this by Mine, the Beira Papa Bar Abba, the following questions were asked but in the Yeshiva of Papa Bar Abba, or Pashta Lila Surah, and they paskin to be that it's Asur, but says the Gemara, Chada Kechachsa, in one circumstance they were correct, Chada Delaf Hechachsa, and once it wasn't that the halach is that way, they were just being machmer. And the Gemara explains, may one make a dairy dough or pashtei leila sura? And the answer was that they may not, which is exactly the halacha. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, one may not make a dairy dough, and one did make such a dough, kola pas kola sura, one may not eat that dough, that bread, nay, because since bread was considered the most staple item in their diet, and it was eaten with meat and dairy, we can't have dairy bread, which may chas v'sham be eaten with fleishiks. Kiyotzba, the same halacha would be, ain't toshin as a tana ba'alya, one may not smear his oven with animal fat, because you may end up also using your oven for dairy. Tosh, if you do so, kolapas kolasura, all bread baked in that oven is asur, achiyasik is a tanner, until you kasher the oven. The paiskim, however, as the Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah teaches us, that even though the halach is that Masechta Pesachim, the Aflam Avav Amin Aleph, says that you're not allowed to have dairy bread, as we just explained, but as the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, and as the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadik Zion Sivkot Na'alv says, that the Gemara says that if you do it Ke'en HaShor, it's mutter. What is the definition of Ke'en HaShor? So there are two pshatim. One pshat is if the bread doesn't have the regular, doesn't look like a regular piece of bread, then it's considered Ke'en HaShor, because you see it's not a regular bread. And the other case is that if you make a small amount, since it's a small bread, so then the halacha is that it's going to be eaten up in one meal, and we don't have to worry that the milch of the bread is going to be left for the fleishka meal. The Shulchan Aruch paskins both ways. And you have a heter for doing it either if you make a small bread or a different shaped bread. And that's why the Ramah in Shimon Tzadik says, Kein loigen lalush pas imchola b'chag ha-shvus. They used to make milch bread for shvus. Ki kolza mechosh of dover muat. It's considered, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, what is the definition of dover muat? If it's enough, if it's a bread that's going to be eaten up in one day. There is a fundamental question in understanding this halacha. Is it an issa cheftza or is it issa gavra? Is it that the bread is asur, or is it that I'm not going to make a bread that's dairy? Where would the nafkamina be? The nafkamina would be if I'm making bread that ultimately I'm going to make it into a dairy food, French toast. So you start with regular bread, but that bread is ultimately dipped into milk, into eggs. But when I make the bread is dairy. So how do we look at it? Do we say that dairy bread is asur, even though ultimately it's going to be consumed in a way that's mutter? Or do we say that it's only going to be usr where there's a concern I may come to eat it in the wrong way? Well, we don't have that concern. We wouldn't say that it's usr. The Shas Chuvas Tzemach Tzedek says, what's going to be, and this would also be a nafka mina, if you made the bread, but the milk you put into the bread is bottle b'shishim. So what will be the halacha? Since it's not nois tam, it's bottle b'shishim, it's osur, it should be mutter, or do I say, if it's in a sechefza, but if it's in a segavra, then maybe it would be mutter. The Marit says that the question should be looked at differently. The Marit says, what happens if you have bread that has less than shishim milk in it? Can you eat that bread with fleishiks or not? The Marit says you may. The place, he says, that you may not. And that will be the nafkamina. If this bread can be eaten with fleishiks, then you can make this type of bread. If this bread can't be made with fleishiks, now we have a real shaila. And then the Tzemach Tzedek also says another chumrah. The Tzemach Tzedek says that this halacha, which we are discussing about dairy bread, is limited to bread. It's not limited to bread. As we explained, what makes bread unique is that bread is a staple food item. So says the Tzemach Tzedek, it's not only bread. Anything that we have to be concerned, you may end up eating is usur. Whereas the opinion of the other Paiskim is that, as we said, it's only bread that Chazal said it's usur. We have no right, even if it makes sense, to expand it past bread. Says the Gemara v'Idach, what was the other question that they discussed? Ba'amine, the question that was asked, Mal l'hachdas min v'she'en min aladir. Can somebody take into a barn two different types of animal, one male and one female? And the question is that they may mate, but I'm not physically mating them together. Apashala l'asura, and the psak that was given that it's usur, the laf kehilchasa, but that isn't the strict letter of the law. Damashmu b'mina'afim, if Edom come to say Edis, that somebody had an improper relationship, they not considered valid Edis, at shiiru kenarachim nafim. They don't have to actually see them having had relations. If they saw that they were next to each other in the way that relationship is normally done, that's enough. But klayim, it's not considered that you did the iser of klayim at shiaknas kemecha b'shefeferis until you actually physically cause them to mate together. Anything less, it would not be considered an iser klayim. There's an interesting question. What would be the halacha if you're allowed to put different types of fish into an aquarium, and by putting different types of fish into the aquarium, they may meet, and they may mate and have and develop a new type of fish. And from the letter of the law, it seems that it's mutter, but Rav Ozner says he would hold that it's not enough. So Shmuel just learned that's not considered that you could say Edis, that this couple had a moral relationship, as soon as you saw Mishiru Kederach Hamanafim. So the Rosh asks that the halacha is that, why is this halacha that way? Why would that be satisfactory to make the chayiv? Isn't the halacha that you have to, Edom have to be very clear in their testimony, and this doesn't represent real clarity in testimony? So the Noi de Behuda answers. Noi de Behuda says that to give a punishment to people who do an Aveira, we know that they have to have Hasra. So since we have to have a Hasra, says the Noi de Behuda, so if no Hasra was required, so then we could say the fact that we see them together is not adequate proof that something indeed happened. But here, they got Hasra. And as we discuss, Hasra is not just that they got warning. They are told very clearly what they are not allowed to do. And they respond, Afabikay, we're still going to do it anyway. So since they already have shown us that they're prepared to do the Aveira, that's why actually seeing the Aveira done itself is not required.
Ask the Gemara. Masara Chtuvi Bar Ami. The Torah says, Behem Techolay Sabia Klayim. So says the Braisa. Ilo Nema Behem Techolay Sabia. And the Torah cannot use the word Klayim. Yisi Omer, I would explain that what does the Torah mean to teach us? Layachs Adam Behema, Bishash Allah Zacher. You shouldn't hold down one animal while the other animal is mating it. Tamaloymer, Klayim. La Mechlal, Klayim. That when we speak about klayim achizah namiloy, is not that you don't have to have, that you actually mate them, and it's still usur, says the Gemara, my achizah, what does the Brice mean with the word achizah lachnosa? That you put it in, you actually do the mating. For my karle achizah, why was it called that word? Lishna ma'aliyah. But the chiv is that but the chiv only comes when they are actually mated together. Amar Yudamim B'minoi, if we have two different types of animals that are the same, Mutalachtis Kamach V'Sheveris, the person who's taking care of these animals could actually mate them, V'afil Mishim Pritzusaleka, and there's no issue of what he did is something that lacks tznius. My Tamam, why? If he's actually causing animals to mate, can't that create that I'll have thoughts that are not appropriate? Answers the Gemara, Bavidasa Torah. He's busy doing what he has to do and doesn't leave him time to think about anything else. Masar Avdumi Ba Ami. Elo Nemar, we go back to the Braisa we just learned. The Braisa says, Elo Nemar Bam Techolay Sabia, Hayisi, I mean, we would say that the Braisa means, Shalayachs Onimus Behem Kadeshialo Azachar. You may not cause two animals to mate. Tamaloymer, Klayim, that the Pasuk is speaking about only two different types of animals. Klayim hu da osur. By different types, it's osur. Hamim b'minoi, the same type of animal, shari, it's mutter. But what is the Braisa saying? That even if they're both the same type of animal, from the same animal, so there's no problem of klayim, but min b'minoi nami, achiza in, only holding it is mutter, achnosa asura. Chachnosa, but putting it in would be loy. So the Gemara, my achiza, what is meant by achiza? Actual achnosa. So ask the Gemara, if that's what it meant, why was it called a word that is misleading? But my karle achiza, lishnam alyam. Amar Vashi, hamelsa ba minei deberim nechem yiresh galusa. This question was asked to me by the yeshiva talmidim of nechem yiresh galusa. Ma'al lahachnes, what is the halacha? Could you put into one barn two animals, a male with two females? One of the females is the same as he is, and one is not. The Reish Galusa in Bavel was the corresponding individual who was the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Do we say, since this Zohar has a Nekevi here, which is the same as he is, that we can be confident? The Zohar is going to have relations with the female that comes from the same type of animals he is. Or maybe we have to be concerned that they may end up mating not the same type of animal. And he told me that it's Osir, but that's like a Hilchasa, because that is not true, because we just learned that the Isir is only when you actually mate them together. Here he just put them into the barn together. He didn't mate them together. And the only reason he said it shouldn't be done, that Mishim Pritzosad Avdi. We have to be concerned that the servants who are not careful with halacha will physically mate the two different types of animals. But if not for that concern, just putting them into the same barn is not an issue. Says the Mishnah, if a person was working with his hands, Avloi Baraglov, not with his feet. Or vice versa. Baraglav aloy biyadav. He was working with his feet and now with his hands. A filah b'kseifai, or even if he's just moving his shoulders, harez oichel, he's already entitled to eat from what he's working with. Rabbi Yosef Yehudaimer, no, that the entitlement for a worker to eat only comes achi yasa biyadav baraglav, he works with his entire body. My Tama, says the Gemara, what is the basis of the Tanakhama's opinion? No matter how you're working, you're entitled, says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, Kisava Bekerem Re'echa, Kisavai, as soon as you come in, anything that you do, you come out of it, Yechayiv. And the Tosfos Yontif explains, if the Torah meant that you have to use all your Yod of Raglav and everything else, the Torah would have said, Kisava liftsar b'kerem reyecha. The fact that the Torah just writes Kisava b'kerem reyecha is an indication that you chayiv just for the most minimal amount. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Aymar, Achi Yasa b'yod of Raglav. Ask the Gemara, my Tamid Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, what is the basis for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's opinion? Says the Gemara, because as we learned on that Pei Tesam and Aleph, the halachas that we've been discussing, the Torah compares the chaysim and the nechsam. The Torah compares the person and the animal who are working. Kishor, mashor, the halacha of the shor is actually yasa b'yod of a raglov. The Torah says that the din of leisachsim only applies when he's using his entire body. The same halacha, says Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, will be by a pile, by a worker, that the obligation that you have to let him eat is only at Shiasa B'yod V'Raglav. By Rabbi Rafuna, Dosh B'Avzin V'Tanagoylim. So when you're talking about chickens and geese, that they don't have legs, they only have feet, what will be the halacha, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Mahu? Will there be a din of Leisachsim? Because they're not using hands and feet. And what is the basis of the question? Do we say kol kol chabinon? They need to use all of their facilities, and they are. They don't have hands. And if that can't be fulfilled, there is no din of loisachsim. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, payalim, the workers who their job is to put the grapes into the wine press from which they make wine. Before they walked vertically and horizontally in order to accomplish this, we're not clear that they're working with wine, they're still working with grapes, and therefore they may eat the grapes, but they may not yet drink the wine. However, once they walk vertically and horizontally in the wine press, and at that point it's noticeable that they're working. At that point it's noticeable that they are working on the wine as well. And since it's noticeable that they're working on the wine as well, that's when they're entitled to eat from both the wine and grapes. If somebody's working with the figs, he may not eat grapes. Vice versa, if he's working by anovim, b'teinim. And as the Rishonim explained, that even though this employee was hired to work by both of these types of fruit, as long as he's only entitled to eat from the fruit that he is eating from, and until he eats from that fruit, he's not entitled to eat from that fruit. Ava Meneas Atzmai, what the worker may do is he could refrain from eating until he gets to the place that he has the fruit that he wants to eat, and then he could eat what he wants. Furthermore, the employee is entitled to eat only actually as he's working. But in order that we want to be concerned that he shouldn't waste time eating, that they could eat when they're going back from one row to the other row, or b'chazros menagas, when they're going from the wine press to the field, because the owner actually is satisfied with that while they're walking they should eat, that therefore their eating will not disturb their walking. Says Mishnah further, b'chamor, if somebody is working with a donkey that carries packages, the loch is kishaparakas, when she's taking off the load, and the Gemara will explain what this means. Ibailuhu. So he's learned in the Mishnah, working with one type of fruit doesn't give you permission to eat from the other type of fruit. So now ask the Gemara, what's going to be the halacha? Ibailuhu, ois begefen zeh. If I'm working with one grapevine, ma shi'ochel begefen acher, could you eat from a different grapevine? And the Gemara explains, the pasuk that teaches us, that we've been learning, that gives the worker the right to eat, because the Torah Kedosha says, Ki sov bekemer acho, v'chalta anovim k'nafsh chosvacho, v'akal yicholoi sitein. V'min sh'ata noisim l'kel shebala bayis. From what you're putting into the basket, that's what you're allowed to eat. V'yika, so if I'm working with grapes, I should be allowed to eat any type of grape. Adoma, mimah sh'ata noisim l'kel shebala bayis b'inan. What exactly I'm putting into the basket. And I'm not putting into the basket now grapes from the other tree. I'm putting into the basket now grapes from this tree. V'aleka. V'emtimtzloimer. If we're going to say, ois begefen zef, I'm working with one tree. Lo yoichel begefen echa, I may not eat from the other tree. Shar b'mechuber. We learned on that peches on days that an animal, as it's working with produce attached to the ground, is allowed to eat. But the question is, way it works is that you have the animal attached to a wagon. The wagon is put next to the tree. The wagon is attached to an animal. And the animal is in front of the wagon. So the tree is behind the animal. So the tree, the animal's not eating from the tree that's being worked on. Says the Gemara, Amar of Seish Sebreder of Idi, Besarcha, that we're talking about a tree that has big branches, and therefore the animal is indeed eating from the tree, from the branches of the tree that it's being worked on currently. Tashma, so Gemara says, how to answer this question, if I'm working with grapes, I may only limit it to the tree I'm working with or to any tree. The Mishnah said, our Mishnah said, I also retain him, layoich ba'novim. If I'm working with figs, I may not take grapes. Habetainav etainim. If I'm working with two types of figs, dum detainav anovim. Now, figs and grapes are always going to be two different trees. So maybe the Mishnah is saying only figs and grapes, since they're two different types of fruit, I can't eat from the fruit that I'm now working on. But if they're both the same type of fruit, the amrit ois begefen zeb, I'm allowed to eat. But, suggests the Gemara, if I'm working on one type of grape, I can't. If I'm working on one grape tree, I can't eat from the other tree. When will be the halacha that the Mishnah is referring to? It must be that two trees of the same type of fruit are permissible. Says the Mishnah, it's not a raya. Why? Because Amar of Shesha Breder of Edi, the Medalis. The Mishnah is speaking about a case where the branches of the fig tree are mixed together with the other fig tree. So when I'm working on one fig tree, I'm really working on both of them. That's when the Mishnah says that if it's fig and grapes that are mixed together, I can only eat from the type of fruit that I am working with. But when it's figs and figs, and not only is it figs and figs that are intertwined, then I can eat from both. Toshma, we learned in our Mishnah, a worker could hold back from eating until he gets to the nice fruit. If I'm working on one tree, I could eat from another tree. Why do I have to wait till I get there? Let me just take off that fruit. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, there's a different consideration. Mishum bet malocha, where if I'm going to go to the tree that has the nicer fruit, so that's going to take away from my work. That certainly may not be done. Like kami boilon, ki kami boilon, where is the question? Hecha de ishto yibonav, that my family's with me. So if I'm working on a grape tree, we're learning now, and we're going to speak about this more in our coming shir, that if I'm working, my family may also get from what I'm working. So now the question is, if I'm working on one grape tree, so I certainly may not go to the other grape tree, because that takes away from my employees, from the work that I owe my employer. The question is, I'm working on this tree. My family is also entitled to eat from grapes now. Do they have to only eat from the grape tree on which I am working? Or could they eat from another grape tree as well? Tashma, the Mishnah says, V'kulay amru Ela b'shas melacha. Really, I should be only entitled to eat while I'm actually working. Avol b'nei hasheva vedel balim. Because we're concerned for an employee, because we are concerned for the welfare of the employer, Amru Chazal taught us, Pailam Eichel Bechalasim Uman Lulam, they let it eat when they're walking from road to road, because Rasim and Agas, when they're leaving the wine press. Savrua, so the Bnei Yeshiva assumed, the Mahalach, walking from one road to another road, Ka'osim Asadami, is comparable to actual working. And what do we see the concern is? Mishum, that what is the halacha? Because we want to do something on behalf of the employer, mishum hasheva aved labalim hudacha, we let him eat. But mederais layachol. Why? Because obviously ois begefen zeh and oichol begefen acher, and therefore I should not be allowed to eat, and therefore I can't eat from one row to the other row if I'm not working on that row. Says the marad loy. Somebody who's going to work is not really entitled to eat at all. And this is a special new halacha. And therefore, when I'm walking from row to row, I'm really not to eat. And that's the reason I'm really not entitled to eat. But if I was working, then I would be allowed to eat, and there was no need for a special rule. What do we see from here? Alma, ois begefen zeh, oichel begefen acher. I'm going from row to row. I could eat from either row, even the row that I'm now working. So it's more loy. Loy loy malach, ois begefen zeh, ein oichel begefen acher. Om halach, but when I walk from row to row, it's as if I'm working, kaisa masadami, it's as if I'm working on that row. Since it's considered as if I'm working on that row, that's why I'm allowed to eat. But we don't have a answer to our question if you're going from one row to another row. Says the Gemara, we learned a chamor is allowed to eat kishaparakis when the load that it's carrying is being taken off. But ask the Gemara, if that's the case, kishaparakis, when unloading the animal, mehechan achla, what is she eating? And says the Gemara, what the Mishnah meant to say was, achate parakis, that she's allowed to continue eating as long as the load is on its back, the food is on its back, that's as long as there's a din of leisachsim. And as Tosfos explains, we would have thought that the issa of leisachsim is only when the food is in front of you. Teaches us the Mishnah that the issa of leisachsim is not only when the food is in front of you, it's even when you realize, when the animal recognizes that it has the food on it, that that's enough to make the issa of leisachsim. Says the Gemara, this Mishnah, and now the understanding of our Mishnah, Tanin al hada tana rabbanan, chamor v'gamol, donkeys and camels, oichel mamash shal gabebeim, can eat from what's on their back, uvat shalo yitel biyodim v'yachilim, the halacha is that you don't actually give it to them. Because the din, the way the Mefarshim explained, the din of Leisachsim says, I may not prevent the animal from eating, but that doesn't mean that I'm obligated to give the animal to eat. So I'm not obligated to give the animal to eat, I just may not prevent it from eating, and that's what the halacha is. We learned here, the mahalach ka'isa masadami, then you're walking. The question of when you're walking from one row to another row to work on the row, is that considered as if you're doing working? And the Mishnah and the Gemara said, Mahalach Ka'isa Masadami, when you're walking from one row to another row, it's considered as if you're working. So Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer Shem Oilam Perek Hei, said that this is Pshat in the Pasuk, B'chol Derechecha De'ehu, V'hu Yash Archasecha. What is the Pasuk teaching us? He says the Pasuk is teaching us that not only when we're actually learning, actually davening, or actually doing mitzvahs, is it considered that we're doing Havoidas Hashem. Everything that we do is really done in order that we should be able to do mitzvahs and be able to learn Torah. If somebody goes to work, that he should have panasa to be able to do what he has to do, that is also considered halicha. Going to work,
doing a mitzvah, to be able to do a mitzvah, is also considered doing a mitzvah.